Oh, let's see. I might not have this on.
As you're making your way back to your seats, quickly, let me just share a couple of prayer requests with you that I did not mention earlier. Joan Rood has shingles right now. So remember Joan in your prayer. Pam Barnes just told me that her cousin in Kentucky has brain cancer and is very critical. Remember that family in your prayer. And also continue to remember Stan Pickard in the homegoing of his dad this week. I stood up just a second ago and I felt my keys in my pocket. And when I was in college, my professor said, now this was a lady professor that taught speech. She said, guys, I hate when preachers have change and keys in their pocket and they rattle them. Make sure you don't leave your keys in your pocket. So normally I wouldn't tell you that. But I also had my cell phone in my pocket. It was on. And I turned it off. I never get upset when people's cell phones go off because I know how easy it is to forget to turn them off. And this is, you don't have to check them right now. This is not a rebuke or anything. I'm just saying I understand when that happens. The last time mine went off that I remember when it shouldn't have, I was asked to be a witness at court. And it went off during the court proceedings. And it was televised. And I could have walked under the phone. Well, that's free. You don't have to pay for that one this morning. Matter of fact, this one's free too. But we've been mentioning some people this morning that were sick. We just mentioned some. We mentioned some earlier. Does prayer make a difference whether people get better or not? You have prayed for people that got better. And you've prayed for people that didn't get better. We've all had that experience. So does prayer do any good? I want to look at that this morning. I thought we would finish James chapter 5 today, but we're going to have to go one more week as I put the message together this week. I realized there were two really segments that needed to be touched on in this passage. But I want to read James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 to you this morning. And try to give you the sense of what James is writing. You remember James is the half-brother of Jesus. And he writes in the last part of chapter 5, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Let's pray together. Father, as we look into your word, help us to understand what you want us to hear and know and do. Because at some time in our life, we are in one of these three categories, maybe more than one at the same time. And I'm sure there are people that are here today that fit into one or more of these categories. And help us to understand what we can do and what we should do, what James has called us to do for our good and your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Three categories I see are mentioned in this passage that I want to talk about. So the first group are those that are afflicted, and you might see the word suffering. So if you're here today and you're suffering, if you're going through some problems, if you're going through some troubles and trials, James says, for you, pray. And then he says to those who are not going through troubles and trials, those are people that are happy and cheerful, and merry. To you, sing songs and psalms. And that's not just for choir members. That's for Christians. If you're happy, you got something to sing about. You're not being afflicted. So thank God you are where you are. Now, God can use trials in our life to build us up and mold us and refine us. We understand that. And then the third category of people that are listed are people that are sick. What should you do? Well, James says you should call the elders and let them pray over you, anointing you with oil. Now, for a Baptist, you're going to get stuck on that anointing with oil, and that's all you're going to think about during the message. We'll touch on that very briefly this morning. In the name of the Lord. So those are the three categories. You're in trouble. You're going through difficulties. What do? Pray. You're happy and cheerful and things are going well in your life. You should sing songs of praise to God. You're sick and suffering and don't know what to do. Call the elders of the church. Let them pray over you. We'll talk about that in the conclusion of the message. First of all, to those that are in trouble or affliction or suffering. I don't think it's talking about physical pain. Now, it's important as we look at this passage to be reminded of who James is writing to. Back in the first chapter, and we've said this several times through the study, so it's not going to be new material for you. But James is writing to people who are Jewish believers who are being persecuted for their faith. And they've had to leave Jerusalem and find other places to live. He describes them as the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And so as you think about this passage, remember the audience who James is writing to. Here are people, and there's application for us, but he's writing to people who have suffered because of their faith. And they've been persecuted. And they're not sure where to turn. And they almost have to look around their shoulders to see if anybody's coming or anything's going to happen to them. So for those people who are facing troubles and difficult circumstances, pray. And you say, well, I know that. Well, if you are going through some troubles right now, are you praying? Well, I know I should. That's not what I ask you. Sometimes we know what we should do, but we don't do it, right? I mean, in many areas, whether it's spiritual or our personal life or our family life or our job life, we know what we should do. We just don't ever get around to doing it. And James says one of the greatest things you can do when you're going through afflictions and when you're going through problems is to pray. 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, and because I preach this good news, I am suffering or afflicted or in trouble and have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained. So the Greek word for affliction and suffering in James chapter 5 is the same word that's used in 2 Timothy. In other words, it's been translated from Greek into English, but the idea is people are suffering because of their faith. Because they're living for the Lord. Do you suffer because you're living for the Lord? There's some family members that, you know, they don't want to hear you talk about church because they're not saved. They just don't want to hear it. There's people at work, if you would say something about biblical truth to people who do not believe in biblical truth, they're going to be at odds with you and start an argument or a fight with you. And if you're in that situation, God says, pray. Another verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. We're ambassadors for Christ. Well, if I say something, it's going to get me in trouble. If I say something, somebody's going to get mad at me. Don't concern yourself about how people are going to react. You just be faithful to do what God's called you to do. You say, well, Pastor, sometimes I pray and nothing seems to happen. Let me talk about that for just a moment because I think it's a very important discussion or dialogue that we need to have. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? Well, He may be answering them on His timetable that might be different than ours. He may be going to answer our prayers, but not on our schedule. There's some prayers and things that we ask for that God simply says no to. James talks about that. We ask for the wrong motives or selfish gain and so forth. And I hope you follow along with this line of reasoning. God has an unconditional will. It's unconditional. He's going to do it. This is what God's decided to do, and this is what God's going to do, and nothing you or I or anybody else does can change it. It's sort of what Doris Day used to sing about, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The world's not, you know, it's just going to happen. We can't do anything to stop it. The problem is, with that line of thinking, what good does prayer do? If God's going to do what he's going to do, why even pray? I mean, it doesn't matter. He's going to do what he's going to do anyway. He's sovereign, and it's unconditional. And is prayer just a step of obedience that I do? No, I think our prayer makes a difference in how God acts. I don't think we're going to change God's heart and make him do something that he wasn't going to do. Sometimes kids can do that, can't they? Please, please, why, yeah. And finally, they just wear us out. And we say, okay, go do it. And we were determined we were not going to let them do it. But because they just went on and on and on, and we got tired of dealing with it, rather than stand our ground, we just gave in to them. Now, prayer's not like that. Now, the Bible does talk about being persistent in our prayer. But there's something to what James says when he taught back in chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. So there are some things that we could have that we don't have because we don't ask. R.A. Torrey in his book Power on Prayer said this, prayer is the key that unlocks the storehouse of all God's blessings laid up for you in Christ Jesus. And as he began to explain what he meant by that statement, he said, imagine there's a storehouse in heaven with your name on it. And in that storehouse with your name on it are blessings that God wants to give to you. But he's not going to give them to you until you ask for it. Oh, they could be yours. But you have not because you ask not. Now, if it is God's unconditional will, it doesn't matter. God's going to do what he's going to do regardless of what you pray. But sometimes his will is conditional. When we are meeting the conditions of prayer, in other words, we're right with the Lord, because sometimes our sin can separate us from God, right? So when we're clear before the Lord and we pray, there may be blessings that God has for us that we can have, but we have to ask for them. So somebody's in the hospital and they're sick and you pray for them to get well. Is it God's unconditional will that they not get well? Or is it his conditional will that even though they were sick, they may get well because you asked? I don't know the answer to that. So just pray. If it's unconditional, it might make a difference. God might heal them. If it's his unconditional will, God's going to do what's going to happen. And I think that's important for us, because sometimes we get disappointed in God because what we prayed didn't happen, or it didn't happen in the time we wanted, or something different happened, and we say, God didn't hear me. He did hear you. He always hears his children. But it may be that that was not his will, and it wasn't best for things to work out that way. It was his unconditional will. It had nothing to do with what you say or do or live or anything. It was what he was going to do. But conditional will may be based upon, are we living for the Lord? Have we confessed our sins? Are we repentant of our sins? Are we walking in his way? Is what we ask according to his name and his will? So don't think that prayer doesn't make a difference. It very well makes a difference. There may be things that God wants for you. Is it God's will that everybody gets saved? The Bible says that, doesn't it? It said it's his will that everybody gets saved. Is everybody going to get saved? Well, we know that's not true. We know there's going to be more people in hell than in heaven. So what God has called us to do is be a witness. And it may be that the person that is not saved, your friend or your family member, your neighbor, your coworker, whoever, it may be that you can play an instrumental part in their salvation because you pray and you witness and you share Christ with them, and God answers your prayer, and it's conditioned upon somebody going. What happens if you don't tell them? Well, they're really without excuse, Romans 1 says, because of the creation of the world, but there's the obligation we have to share our faith and to believe that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. So let me just sum up this. Are you going through some problems? Well, there's just some things you're just not sure how to handle. Pray. What do you pray? Well, James said in chapter 1, ask for wisdom. Ask for help. Ask for directions. I honestly believe that there are times when we pray that God closes some doors that we were getting ready to go, paths we were getting ready to take, and he opens others. I've seen this time after time after time in my life. I just say, Lord, you know, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure which direction to go. You're going to have to lead me. And then somebody will say something, or I'll hear a message, or I'll hear a song, and then I'll hear another one, and I'll hear another one. And it's like the same message in different avenues are coming to me, and God's saying, this is the path I want you to go. And to me, it becomes clear sometimes. I don't always know what God's going to do in every situation. I just don't. But that shouldn't stop us from praying. And if you're going through troubles, not physically, not health issues, but troubles and afflictions and suffering, pray. Don't neglect that. It's easy to agree with that and not do it. So, secondly, if any of you are happy, sing. Now, if you can't sing, do it at home. But that's not biblical. That's just a preacher. Where do you get that? My wife tells me that. It's personal testimony this morning. Maybe it's just my own personal experience, but I believe it's biblical. If you're a Christian, I believe God just puts a song in your heart. And singing to the Lord. If you can sing well and you can sing in a choir or sing a special music or sing in the congregation, well, great. But for those of you who may feel like you don't have that ability or talent, I think we're still to sing praise unto the Lord from our heart. There are times when I'll just go out and sing, and songs that I've learned growing up. I mean, I don't take a hymn book with me, but just walking around, and sometimes a part of my prayer life, I just sing to the Lord. And I mean, that's the spot where you could try to say something funny, but I think God enjoys hearing the praise of his people. I watch parents tell kids who draw a picture that looks like a scribble, honey, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'm thinking, what are you seeing? But to a parent who has a kid that is one or two and that's all they can do, they just want to encourage and love on that kid. And God's not looking at our hearing our songs and saying, oh my goodness, don't sing another tune. He looks at us and he inhabits the praise of his people. And praise in song, and most of the Psalms were songs, and especially people who were going through troubles and afflictions. Sing that unto the Lord in the form of praise. And praise means an expression of adoration for who God is or for what he's done. Appreciation for who he is, thinking more of him. You know, Lord, I thank you for my life and for ministry and for my family. And Lord, I thank you for whatever it might be. And there are many songs. You know, most people outside of the Bible, the main source of knowledge for theology is from hymns. And for some people, maybe even more than the Bible, according to how much they read the Bible. That's why it's important when we sing hymns to make sure that they're accurate. Because we learn from that. You know, I walk in the garden alone and spending time with the Lord. And it makes us think, you know, we need to spend time with God alone. And so many of the hymns that we grew up on, and people have a different taste for music, right? If I try to convince my children that the music I listen to is what they shouldn't listen to, that's going to be a never-ending battle. And if they try to convince me the music they listen to is what I listen to, it's going to be another never-ending battle. Ron Hutchcraft said, music is the language of a generation. And everybody is different in the type music and the type beat that they like. That's why I have always felt, I don't really care about, I mean, I do at church, but I really don't care about the volume or the lyrics or the beat. I mean, I do the lyric, the beat. I want to know what it's saying. And there are songs that I listen to that I have no idea what they just said. And I got to read them because they're just not used to that type of music. But the issue here is, for the Christian, don't be drunk with wine, where's excess, Ephesians says, but be filled with the Spirit and sing with songs and hymns and encourage one another in that way. So, my wife will be glad I said this in the 11 o'clock service, maybe some others will. So when we sing songs, sing! Well, I don't know that song. Okay, I'll give you a pass on that one. But you know some of them. Sing. I don't sing well. Then don't sing loud, but sing. Unto your, don't sing for your neighbor. Sing unto the Lord. Songs of praise. Well, let's look at the third thing. And that is, what do you do when you're sick? Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. If you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. James gives a role model in Elijah, who was a man of prayer. We're going to come back and talk about Elijah some next week in the message, but it says in the passage about Elijah, he was a man just like us. When's the last time you prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years and it didn't rain? When's the last time you prayed and birds brought you food? Is your hopes based on when you die, some chariot's going to come and take you to heaven? He's like a superhero, you know. But he was a man just like us. We'll talk about that some next week. But if any of you are sick, now, there's this verse probably has many different interpretations from different people and what it means, and probably a great verse for faith healers. And as I've said often, don't trust a faith healer that wears glasses. Just don't trust them. If they got glasses on, I don't think they're a faith healer. But the word sick here, and you can go back and do your own word study. Just don't take my word for it, but go back and do some research. The word sick here means weary. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm just sick and tired of that? Y'all said it yesterday. I'm at the end of my rope. I don't think I can deal with this another day. I think that's the type spirit and sickness that James is talking about here. I don't think he's talking about physical sickness. I think he's talking about the life has just been knocked out of you. What do you do? Call the elders. Let me repeat that again. When you feel like you can't go on and you've taken all you can take and the life's been knocked out of you, you don't feel like living for God tomorrow, you're ready to quit and give up and everything, call the leadership. You need somebody to pray for you because you're having a hard time praying for yourself. You just don't feel like it. Have you ever been so sick you just didn't feel like praying? Have you ever been so discouraged and hurting and I'm tired of this, that you thought, I don't even want to get up and go to church today. I know I should, but I don't even feel like doing anything. I don't even want to get out of bed. call the elders. Now, here's what we normally do. We complain when we're not visited. I was visiting the hospital a number of years ago, and I was visiting a lady in our church, and I ended up talking with a lady in the other bed, and she said, "Well, my pastor hadn't come to see me yet." And I said, "Really? Who is it? I'll call him." "Oh, don't call him. I don't want him to know I'm here." God help you. Pride can be a big thing in our life, can't it? Well, ask somebody. "I don't have to ask." Well, then don't get mad. It can be one of my pet peeves at times. You know, "Why didn't you come see me? I haven't had this happen in many years at our church. Why didn't you come see me at the hospital? I didn't know you was there." "Well, you should have known." "Well, nobody told me." Now, I have people in our church who will call me and say, "Did you know this so-and-so happened?" Sometimes I know it, and sometimes I don't. I'd rather know it twice than none, than not know it at all, right? So, if that's the case, call. But here is a person, and I think from now on when I read this passage, I'm going to think Nancy Hall. I believe, and I would be in the same situation I think she's in, I believe if I had been sick for 8 weeks or more with stomach pain that was very high level, and I had a surgery that didn't do what they hoped it would accomplish, and I had to have another surgery, and I was still dealing with pain, and I've heard her say this, "I don't know how much more of this I can take." And I think that's what's being described here. Not the physical part, that's another issue. But the part of, "I'm just not getting any better. Things are getting worse. You know, it's this surgery, another surgery. This doctor doesn't know what's going on. This doctor's not sure. They have to run these tests. They're doing all this blood work. This has been going on for over two months. How much more can I take?" I think that's what's being described here. And so I just don't think things happen by accident. I just think that God's in control of things and even messages and things. And so one of the things I want to be talking to our deacons about, and if you're a deacon, I'll just say it publicly rather than contacting you otherwise, which I still will do. But I'm hoping to get many of our deacons that can to come tomorrow evening about 6:30 or so to the hospital and just meet and pray for Nancy. Just pray for her spirit. Margaret Barton said when we were praying the night for Nancy, just pray that God would give her peace and that she'd be able to accept what's going on and that her life is not over. And those were almost prophetic words because it's exactly what I think Nancy needs and what I would need if I was in this situation. You've heard people say, I've heard people say, you might have even said at times, you know, "I am so sick, if I die, it'd be okay." Sometimes we get like that. Now, Nancy didn't say that, but there's sometimes we're like that. Just I just can't go on. And in those instances, When think about these 12 tribes. They had been beaten. They had been persecuted. They had been threatened. I'm sure family members had been died. Other family members wouldn't even talk to them. They were having a hard time finding a job. And I'm sure that James is saying to these guys, there are times when you just don't feel like you can go on. You can take another step, even though you're a Christian. In those situations, call for the leadership. Let them come and pray for you because you're having a hard time praying for yourself. If you're afflicted, he said, pray. If you're going through troubles, pray. But this is deeper than that. This is when the life has been sucked out of you. Call for the leadership to come and gather around you and pray that God might strengthen your inner man. I believe it's what's being said. Well, you still haven't touched on anointing with oil. See, you've been stuck on that the whole message. Wait for me to touch base on that. Take some baby oil, put it on their head, and go on, okay? We deal with that. I've heard some interpretations of this passage saying that oil was used for medical purposes. And so what it's saying here, call for the elders, and if there's medical attention that needs to be given, do that. And those in combination with each other will heal the sick. And I do think that was seen sometimes in Scripture. I think if you look at the Good Samaritan, you find that oil was placed on his wounds as a healing agent. But it sort of gives me the impression here that the elders are doing. You don't want me working on you. You don't want me to prescribing your medication. So I'm wondering if that's not what I just think it means. I think in the Bible when people were anointed, it was that, you know, God had a special purpose and calling on their life, and it was just sort of set them aside. And I think the idea here is to come and the leadership for this person that they're just not sure they can take another step. They're almost ready to give up. And there's a special calling of the leadership to come and pray for them that God might infuse his encouragement into their heart so that they can go on in the name of the Lord according to his. And the name is not a title but a total. It's a reference to all that God is, his nature and his purposes and his character and his will. Because we don't want anything to happen that's not according to God's will or purposes or character or nature, right? And so for the leadership together and to pray for the person that just don't feel like they can pray for themselves and can't go on, pray that God might give them the hope and the encouragement and the prayer of the righteous shall save the sick. Back in the first verse, let me read it exactly to you. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he needs to confess sins, God will forgive that. Do you know some sicknesses are brought on because of sin? I don't know where I heard this, but years ago I used to hear, and you've probably heard it too, a clear conscience makes for a soft pillow. And some of the issues that we go through are because of sin. Now, not all of them, not all trouble, not all sickness is because of sin. I understand that. But listen, if you have got habitual sin in your life and you're wore out and going through some health issues that you hadn't gone through before, the thing you might want to do is just confess your sins and get right with God. That might be the best medicine you could take. Walk holy before your God. Sin has a way of catching up with us. Let me close with this. I went through a situation, it's been over 20 years ago, and some things were going on, and it was just stressing me out. I mean, I faced more stress than I had ever faced in my life during that short couple weeks in my life. I'll never forget, I was eating a barbecue sandwich, and I got sick. And I had to go to the doctor, and he said, "You got ulcers." He said, "You know, stress will bring that on. Have you had any stress lately?" "Have I had any stress lately?" Duh. Well, that's what's caused it. There's a lot of physical high blood pressure and other things. And I remember leaving the doctor's office and he gave me something thinking, you know, why am I stressing out about this? I mean, it's in God's hands. I got to do what I got to do, but God's going to take care of it. Why am I carrying all this burden when he says, cast your burden on me? And my ulcer got better and I hadn't had one since. Might have one tomorrow, but I hadn't had one since. Not all ulcers are brought on by stress, I'm sure, but a lot are. High blood pressure, heart attacks, other things. I don't know. So check yourself out. If you're having some health issues you've never had before, it might be because of some sin. It might be because you're getting old. Things break down. I don't know. I remember when God confronted Job. Job said, "Man, I've looked at my heart, and I'm trying to figure if I've done anything wrong, because if I did, I want to make it right. But as far as I know, I'm right before God." And Job was. But there was that examination that took place. So are you going through trouble? Pray. Are you happy? Sing. Are you at the end of your rope, and you don't feel like you can go on, you're ready to give up the towel, and you can't take it anymore? Pray for the leadership, and let them come and minister to you, that God might hear their prayer and raise you up and give you that strength to go on. Father, thank you for your word. May we take it to our heart and apply it to our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I still have all my slots open for the IQ test. So come sign up.